The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010. Fantasy Focus.
What's up? Welcome into the Week 2 Fantasy Focus DFS Podcast. My name is Daniel Dopp, joined by Mike Clay.
What up?
What's up, Mike? We're going to be joined a little bit later today by L.A. Smooth Al Zeidenfeld. He is going to take us through some of his best buys for the Week 2 slate this week. But, Mike, let's look back at last week really quickly before we get into things. We had a couple of tournaments. Let's talk about how you did specifically.
How I did? I did pretty well.
Yeah, you did pretty well.
93. We actually had, within our league on DraftKings, we set up three 200-person drafts. I think we filled up all three. So hopefully if you're listening, you were in that, had a lot of fun. And all three of the lineups I set based on our analysis last week, we're top 25 out of the 200. So
wow.
I think we did pretty well for week one. I don't know if we're going to be able to beat that. So maybe just stop listening now, right?
Like that's fair.
We're going to level off completely, but it was a good start. It was a good start. But anyway, I put up 193. There's no way you beat that, did you?
No, I mean, I don't know. Is 204 more than 193?
Got to plug that in. Okay.
Oh, okay. It's just a little bit. Okay. All right. So,
listen, you got lucky.
Yeah, I was 13th.
Yeah, you did well. I was 21st in our main league, but, we did not finish first in our league.
Who did finish first, Mike?
Somebody, hopefully a listener, kicked our rear ends. S Border 03 with 247.
Wow.
That's a hell of a score.
That is a big lineup right there. Hopefully that was used in a couple other games.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, it was a great start to our DFS podcast. I think our optimizer did well. A lot of the picks it was hard to find busts on that list last week.
So, it really was.
Again, we're not patting ourselves on the back.
Well, you sort of are.
But you don't want to do that too hard in this game because there's so much variance. It's so tough.
You'll get humbled real quick.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. We're going to try not to do that at all, but nonetheless, we're on to week two.
All right, so here's what we're going to do every week. We're going to bring you guys a couple of our top plays. Keep this tight and short so that you guys could get a couple of good plays, make some money this weekend, but you know, we don't want you listening for an hour and a half. That's what the other Focus podcast is for.
Literally
an hour and a half. We're looking for 25 to 30 minutes here. So we appreciate you sticking with us, coming back for week two. Now we're going to get into it. Mike, the showdown of the week, Chiefs at Raiders. Based on what I'm seeing here, you like everybody in this game.
Yeah, everybody. If we could start kickers and punters, we might want to do that. Maybe not punters, because that could be punting much. But yeah, the sports book line in this game is super high, and I'm actually higher than that, which it's really no surprise that there's a lot of players from this game that I do like. In fact, when we first put our kind of rundown together, I was like, we need to just kind of carve out time to talk specifically about this game because so many of the plays that I like and that are in our optimal lineup and that show up as great values in our tool on the site, which we have for DraftKings and FanDuel. You can check those out at ESPN Plus. These guys show up well. So we'll start a quarterback here.
Yeah, let's do it.
With Derek Carr. And by the way, I should mention this too, because it's going to come up a few times. The Raiders played that late Monday night game last week against the Broncos, and the prices were already out for those players, so they're low for a lot of them, right? Because there was, you know, guys like Courtland Sutton, we're going to talk about Josh Jacobs, Tyrell Williams, Darren Waller. The pricing is just lower than it should be, and certainly lower than it will be next week. So that's another reason why we like a lot of these guys, again, including Derek Carr.
All right, so yeah, let's start with Derek Carr. $5,100 against the Chiefs. What is it you like about Carr this week?
Yeah, well, passing game script for sure, right? They're going to be playing against the Chiefs. We expect a lot of passing from them, most likely playing from behind, though they are at home in this one, so it certainly has the makings of a potential shootout. He completed 85% of his passes against a pretty good Broncos defense last week. The numbers were terrific against the Chiefs at home last season, too. Threw for 285, three touchdowns, no interceptions, attempted 38 passes. You like that for sure. We expect, again, a very similar game script. He was also better at home than on the road last season. Averaged 268 yards passing, 12 touchdowns, and 5 picks. And finally, what did we see in week one? You know, is the Chiefs defense still bad? I'm going to say Nick Foles and Gardner Minshew lighting them up is a pretty convincing yes. In fact, 27 completions, 33 attempts, 350 yards, three touchdowns, and a pick by Foles and Minshew in week one. Carr is better than those guys, I think, and he's at home this week. I think he's in for a nice day.
To be fair, the jury's still out on Gardner Minshew.
True. He could be, I hope he's the next, like, Tom Brady. Right?
I would
like,
love that.
Round superstar.
Oh, it'd be so great.
He looked amazing last week.
He really did. He really did. Love that Raiders passing game this week against the Chiefs. Like you said, they're going to have to throw a whole bunch, but that leads me to the next guy here. You have Josh Jacobs at $4,700. Even though you think the game script is going to be the Raiders need to throw a bunch, you still think that Josh Jacobs is great value here.
Yeah, and maybe, I mean, you're not going to want to use all of these guys in one tournament lineup, right? You're going to have to kind of
don't tell me how to set my lineup.
I'm going to. I can't talk smack because you beat me last week. But anyway, you can find different ways to utilize these guys in 50-50s cash games, some of them in tournaments, certainly. But I do still like Jacobs at his price point. $4,700, this is a guy that played 39 of 54 snaps in week one. He handled, as expected, all but three of their 26 carries by running backs. And by the way, he ran more pass routes than Jalen Richard, which was a shock to all of us. He ran 10 to Richard 6. We saw the Chiefs defense last week allow 73 yards and 14 carries to the Jags running backs. Obviously, some decent efficiency. And again, we've talked about this. The Chiefs defense, not very good, and it's carrying over from last season when they were top six on the bad side, of course, in rushes, yardage, touchdowns, yards per carry, carries inside the five, receiving yards, receiving touchdowns, and fantasy points allowed to running backs. That's bad, Daniel.
That's really bad. I don't know all of the things you just said, but it sounds like they're not very good against running backs.
It's a lot of stuff.
So put Josh Jacobs in your lineup is what we're saying here.
Yeah, he's definitely a good play.
Let's quickly talk about these Raiders pass catchers, because both Tyrell Williams at $4,400 and Darren Waller at $3,300 look like great value here. Again, like we said, with all the throwing that's going to happen in this game.
Yeah, I mean, geez, Waller might be a top five fantasy play going forward in like season long leagues, and you're getting him at $3,300 here. I mean, you love that for sure. Again, he played every single snap in week one. You don't see that often for any offensive players, let alone a tight end. I mean, aside of offensive line, but this guy is clearly going to play a huge role. 8 targets in that game. Again, the Chiefs lit up by tight ends last season, top 7 in targets, receptions, receiving yards, yards per reception. They get bit by that, and I assume that will continue to be the case, considering that they allowed 8 catches and 49 yards to Jeff Swaim and James O'Shaughnessy in week one. So I think Darren Waller should do a little bit more damage than that, I would think. So that's Waller. As for Williams, again, crazy underpriced. I think, in season long, I think he's a borderline top 10 play in fantasy this week. He ran a route on every single one of their 26 pass plays in week one, put up a great line. We obviously saw that on Monday Night Football, 6 catches, $105 and 1 touchdown. And we also saw, again, Tyrell Williams, the top perimeter receiver. DJ Chark and Chris Conley were the top perimeter receivers for the Jags last week, and they obviously crushed it, as did receivers against the Chiefs all last season. Top 4 in targets, receptions, receiving yards, end zone targets against receivers last year. You get the drift here. The Chiefs defense wasn't good last year. They got lit up by every position. They're still not good. We saw that in week one. Pretty much loading up on this Raiders offense at home, I think, is a good plan.
I'm going to call you out right now in front of everybody that's listening to this podcast. I think it's you get the gist here, but you said you get the drift here. And I think the NASCAR thing in your head is just so ingrained. You were
why,
like,
drift? No, you mean draft. So you don't even know what you're talking
drifting,
about.
No, you're drifting, isn't it? Don't you?
No,
do you drift?
NASCAR.
Is that is that dirt track racing? Dirt track?
There's some sort of racing where you're drifting, but that's not anything close.
Rubbing's racing, Mike. I don't care what you have to say about it. All right.
Days of Thunder reference. You only know that because it was in pop culture.
Calm down. Okay. All right. Let's talk about the Chiefs here. And it would be really easy to stack Patrick Mahomes with a number one of these pass catchers, whether it's Sammy Watkins, Mecole Hardman, or Travis Kelce. But just from a value standpoint, which one of those stacks excites you the most?
Yeah, I think, again, you can kind of build a team out of this game, right? You can use a Mahomes-Kelce stack and then fill in with some players from the Raiders side, or you can do it a different way with Derek Carr to Tyrell and Waller, and maybe find a way to work in some of the other pass catchers in Kansas City. But if you do buy into it being a high-scoring game, you could have a lot of fun with that, even in cash, right? I think a lot of people will be on this in tournaments. It might not give you as much of an edge. You want some piece of it, I think.
Sure.
But you don't necessarily want to stack everyone, or it's going to be hard to get an edge. But nonetheless, I think Travis Kelce at $7,300 here is still a decent value. And Pat Mahomes is $7,500. Obviously, it's going to cost you a lot at that spot. But I think you can still build a team with a pretty darn good lineup. That's called foreshadowing for my lineup later.
Yeah.
By using these guys. And obviously, Mahomes still has it. I mean, he played against a really good Jags defense, as we're going to see as the year goes on. They're still very talented on that side of the ball in Jacksonville, and still put up 378 and 3 touchdowns, and he was not fully healthy for that whole game. Obviously, he had that injury early on, and Travis Kelce, I think we all would say, There were a lot of storylines in week one. He wasn't one of them. He was kind of had a quiet day. We'll say he still had 88 yards on any targets. I mean, that's kind of a quiet day for him. So I think that those are, I think you can get heavily involved in this game, obviously, and those two guys are good places.
378 and three touchdowns against the Jaguars without his top wide receiver and Tyreek Hill. Like, he is just out of this world. Love Patrick Mahomes. And I love being able to see that value this week. Let's talk about some other quarterbacks, though, Mike, because we're going to pick one or two guys here at these positions and roll through some other games. But a quarterback, Josh Allen, $5,300 at the Giants this week. You like Josh Allen as a passer, as a guy that's going to use his legs? Is he going to run a little bit more this week? What do you like about him?
Yeah, it's weird. It's like, especially after watching Thursday Night Football last night, it's like Josh Allen is almost a new Cam Newton, right, with what he does with his legs.
Yeah.
He's still worried about his passing, but he's improving there. And Cam Newton's like what we thought Josh Allen was going to be. That's what Cam Newton has turned into.
He's turned into that.
Just chilling in the pocket, throwing bad passes. So anyway, yeah, I think Allen, and I'm nervous about saying too many positive things about him all week as someone who was not a fan of him coming into the league. As a player, obviously he's a really good dude, but so far so good in his trajectory in the NFL. I have him scoring over 20 points in this game. He comes in at 5,300 playing at the Giants. He was QB 18 in fantasy last week, but his expected fantasy point total, again, we have these full charts up at ESPN+. You can see the expected point totals based on players' usage was QB3. He had 10 carries in that game. He was really bit by a pair of fumbles, two interceptions, but his efficiency was fine. He completed 65% of his passes. He was more conservative than last year. You want to see them more high percentage throws, and we did get that in week one. And by the way, he's been playing pretty well as a fantasy quarterback for a while. Remember, he finished last season with four top five fantasy weeks in his final six games, and now he's facing a Giants defense that allowed 405 yards and four passing touchdowns to Dak Prescott last week. So I think Allen, a smart play this week. I would also say if you're looking elsewhere, you know, we mentioned Mahomes and Carr and Allen. Ryan Fitzpatrick against New England is a sneaky play. And Ben Roethlisberger back at home against Seattle.
Yeah, one of the things I like about Josh Allen specifically, 23.9 DraftKings points per game over his last seven games. Mm-hmm. And since week three of 2018, the Giants have allowed a league-high six games of 300 passing yards. I mean, this seems like the perfect Josh Allen game for you to be able to use him in a DraftKings lineup. So excited about that. Let's talk running back where, you know, the real question in the Redskins backfield is, are they going to be able to keep it close enough that Adrian Peterson is going to get 20-plus touches, or is Chris Thompson going to be more utilized in that passing game?
Yeah, and Dallas, this game's in Washington. Dallas is coming in, obviously, a decent defense. That the Cowboys have actually had a lot of success playing at Washington as of late. I believe they've won 5 of 6 in Washington, so that why is that important? Well, game script, obviously. We're trying to figure that out.
Sure.
But anyway, you know, the pricing here is great. Okay, Darius Geis is out, so Peterson, who was fifth in the NFL in carries last season, is going to get a bulk of the carries for this team. He comes in at 3,400. You love that price.
So low.
You also love Chris Thompson at 3,900. This is a guy who has 18 targets in his last two games, including week 17 last season. He has a very high floor. It's an area where you could save some money, throw him on your lineup, and spend on a star elsewhere. And again, you could almost apply that to Peterson. The problem with him is he doesn't do much as a pass catcher. May get you a touchdown. He had 8 last year. You like the price, but you don't really love the upside. In fact, he was only finished as a top 20 running back in 3 different weeks after week 4 last season. So you kind of pick your battles here. Depends how much cash you have left. Depends, you know, how if you want to go for maybe the potential 2-touchdown game with AP or a safer guy like Thompson who could, again, could see 8 or 9 targets in this game.
Sure. At wide receiver, I'm surprised by this one, Mike, because you have Broncos wide receiver Cortland Sutton going up against the Chicago Bears. $4,200 on DraftKings. Right now, the projection is 11.8 for Cortland Sutton. What is it that you like him against this tough Bears defense?
Yeah, and speaking of the Broncos, too, I'll throw Phillip Lindsay and Austin Ekeler out there as well as other running back options. I mentioned, you know, Lindsay there because he's the clearly the lead running back for Denver. Sutton, who we're going to talk about here, is the top receiver for Denver, at least at this moment. And that's notable because, again, we mentioned this earlier with Oakland. They played in that late Monday night game, right?
Yes, they
did. Pricing on some of these guys is still pretty low. And that's why I really like Sutton here, right? 4,200 against Chicago. This game is in Denver. And if you look back, I don't have the numbers right in front of me. You think maybe I would have prepared for
you
this podcast.
You think you'd have done something. But you cared at all.
The numbers aren't really important here. The point is, the Broncos at home early in the season are unbelievably good. They hardly ever lose their first home game. And so there's a chance that they are able to take advantage here, score some points against Chicago and win this game. And that might not benefit Sutton a ton in terms of playing from behind and having to throw, but you don't necessarily want that against Chicago, right? They're a good team. You just want them to score some points and Sutton to see 8 to 10 targets. He has a chance to do that here. Yes, it's a tough matchup. Kyle Fuller and Prince Amukamara are terrific perimeter corners. He's going to be outside a lot in this game. But, you know, teams do have to throw in Chicago. It's really that simple. Last year, they were elite, and they still allowed 222 receptions to receivers. That was fifth most in the NFL. And as mentioned, Sutton, I think in year two here, has developed into Denver's top receiver, number one in snaps and pass routes in week one on this team, put up 120 yards on 7 catches. And again, it really comes down, if his price was corrected, you know, to $5,500, it wouldn't be appealing in this matchup, but at 4,200, it's just hard to say no to.
Yeah, I'm interested to see the elite Chicago defense go up against an elite Joe Flacco and whether or not him and those pass catchers,
Daniel,
man.
About that.
A couple of other wide receivers real quick. You have Terry McLaurin, Larry Fitzgerald, Cole Beasley, John Ross, Hakeem Grant. There's a lot of guys that you like have good value at wide receiver this week.
Yeah, definitely. A few of these guys are super cheap too. Ross coming off that big game last week, and AJ Green still out, so he's going to play a huge role against San Francisco. Hakeem Grant, I mean, if Miami is playing from behind against the Patriots at home, you know, Miami has won 5 out of 6 games against New England in Miami. Like, they've had their number in that stadium. And Grant, especially if Albert Wilson's out, is going to be playing a big role. McLaurin, I think, I'm just buying him as a guy that's going to play a huge role in Washington the rest of the way. Obviously a deep threat. So especially in tournaments, he has some appeal there for sure. So yeah, some of these guys, super cheap. Other guys, you're just looking to fill out your roster, but they are good values.
Totally. We're going to look at the tight end position real quick before we bring in L.A. Smooth Al Zeidenfeld, but Mike, you like T.J. Hockenson.
A Lion. How did a Lion get in here?
$3,000 against the Chargers. I mean, afterwards.
I said no Lions.
Mike, here's the thing. You said no Lions, but then he just played his way into your lineup. I mean, he's stolen your heart after 1 week. The dude just looked fantastic after week one against the Cardinals. $3,000 for T.J. Hockenson just seems like too much of a good value to pass up here.
Yeah, that's crazy. I can't believe he's only $3,000. What a week he had on the field for 57 of their 80 snaps. In his NFL debut, 9 targets, 131 yards, the touchdown. I thought this was interesting. I mentioned it on the Fantasy Focus earlier this week. 17.3 was his average depth of target on those 9 targets. For perspective, the highest ADOT in the league last season among tight ends was Rob Gronkowski at 12.4. I mean, he's about 5 yards above that, and it won't be that high going forward this season, but that just tells you how they're going to use him. He's going to be a downfield weapon for this offense. So Hockenson certainly interesting for sure. And honestly, do you think people might be afraid of Lions, like playing the Chargers? Like, the Chargers D has been pretty good. You know, they're at home. Chargers are missing Derwin James. They're kind of a mess. I mean, you know, maybe like the Stafford Hockenson stack or Marvin Jones coming off a quiet week. Like, you could probably do a little damage with that.
Yeah, I love that.
Sneaky tournament play.
Love it. All right, let's bring in Al Zeidenfeld, who joins us from his home somewhere, I don't know, out west, somewhere in the beautiful hills of Los Angeles. Is that correct, Al?
Yes, that is partially correct, yes.
Yeah, partially.
I'm in a place named Hills, but like it's a little hilly. It's not up in the mountains.
Sure. All right, from a small hill in L.A., Al Zeidenfeld joins us. That's accurate. Al, you write the Best Buys column on ESPN+. If you go and check it out, you give us a ton of great players every single week. I'm interested for you. I want to run through the same thing that we just did with Mike. At quarterback, you really love Jared Goff this week. What is it like that you like about Goff going up against the Saints in week 2?
I mean, the Rams didn't even look good last week, and they ended up with 30 points at home. I mean, when Goff is at home, that's basically when I want to get on. And then you're dealing with a Saints defense that, while they have some good names and while they're solid, this game does have the potential to shoot out. It's one of the higher totals on the day. Implied team total, one of the greatest predictors for me in terms of quarterback scoring, as volume isn't the biggest predictor of fantasy scoring, but more efficiency at the quarterback position. I think that they find their way to 27 to 30 points this week, and Goff has gone over 21 DraftKings points in each one of the Rams' last 7 home wins. Lamar Jackson, also a good play. We saw what he did last week, just went absolutely nuclear against the Miami Dolphins. 5 touchdowns through the air and really didn't run the ball. I don't think that that's going to sustain itself. I look for players in pace-up situations. So the Ravens, a slow team. They don't want to run a lot of plays. They don't want to do things really quickly. They just kind of sloth their way around and try and control the clock, and rightfully so. But now they're playing against the Arizona Cardinals. They're going to play pace up. So you get a situation like that, and even though I expect the Ravens to enforce their will upon this Cardinals defense, I think that they're going to get more plays this week than they would other weeks, which means more Lamar Jackson, more throws, more rushing attempts, more touchdown upside. And I totally agree with Mike about Josh Allen as well. Everything that he said, I can just ditto all that.
Love it. Love it. Let's move over to running back, where in that exact same game, you have Alvin Kamara as a running back that you really like. And I'm assuming a lot of that has to do with that high point total that Vegas has, where you think a lot of points are just going to be scored, which means Kamara is just going to get a ton of work.
I thought it had to do with his first name. I thought
Okay.
I stand for all Alvins in the league right now. Alvin Kamara is the best Alvin in the league, so I am going to be a fan anytime that he is playable.
All right,
he's definitely playable
fair.
This week.
That's fair.
That's up.
I'll let you have that.
Hashtag analytics.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you just got to keep it simple, right? Like, you were always on Charles Clay, right, Mike?
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Always. Yeah, I'm starting him this week. I mean, yeah. This is his week for the Cardinals. Playing at Baltimore, that's the time, right?
That's when you got to jam him into your lineup. Contrarian, right? Well, nobody else is doing it, so that's the right time to get on board.
He's so scoring 3 touchdowns. It's so happening now.
Tell me why we're jamming Alvin Kamara into our lineups this week, Al.
Again, I'm looking to jam guys that can have massive upside. I want a floor, and with full PPR, Alvin Kamara, as used in the passing game as any running back in the league, so you get that really high floor with every point per reception. Big playability as well, so we have access to a ceiling on top of that. In games where he's gotten over 20 touches, he's averaged 30.9 DK fantasy points on his career. It hasn't happened all the time. He's not going to play 100% of the snaps or get Christian McCaffrey-type usage rates, but good 65 to 70% of the running back touches for the Saints. He will get some of the goal line work as well, and as I said, that big playability is always going to be there. So we talk about stacking, right? So like Goff to one of his pass catchers will make sense, but we don't talk enough, especially in tournaments, about having somebody on the other side. So if I think Jared Goff's going to do well and one of his receivers, if you want to pick one of those to stack him with, whether it's Cooks or Kupp or one of the tight ends or even one of his running backs, you can bring it back with somebody in the other team, because if the Rams light it up, that means that the Saints are going to have to be forced to push the ball as well, which means more of a high floor and ceiling for somebody like Alvin Kamara. A couple other running backs. Josh Jacobs is just too cheap, led the league in terms of red zone opportunities last week. And for as much as I like Lamar Jackson, if you can go a little bit contrarian, if everybody thinks that, well, Lamar Jackson is going to throw for a bunch of touchdowns and he's going to get the red zone look, you can pivot to somebody like Mark Ingram, who had 5 red zone opportunities last week, had played, what, like half the snaps because the game got blown out and they sat all the starters. What if Mark Ingram has another game as efficient as he had in week 1? Against the Cardinals defense that should not be able to stop this offense, gets a lot of touches inside the 10 and the 5, which is where the money zone is, at least in daily fantasy, as well as in season long. Mark Ingram makes a nice little contrarian play with all the other running backs that are out there this week that he doesn't grade as well against. They grade a little bit higher than him. So you're going to get him at a really low percentage with high touchdown upside.
Okay, love that. Let's move on to wide receiver, Al, where it looks like you and Mike are on the same page with Tyrell Williams, but just give me something else. I mean, obviously, Mike can't say all the nice things about Tyrell Williams. You're allowed to say some things, too.
I mean, look, I've been a fan of the Gazelle since he came into the league. This just is what it is. But I understand Mike hit on him. He said all the right things about him. He's too cheap. The big thing is those Monday night guys don't always get priced up or down because the price has come out before those games finish or even start. So you can find some inequities in pricing on DraftKings when players have Monday night games and go off. So for me, I'm going to be able to afford to pay up. Mike hit on so many big values already, and he's right. There's a lot of value out there at running back, wide receiver, tight end, everywhere on the board. So we can afford the premium players like Alvin Kamara at running back and like Nuke Hopkins at wide receiver. I mean, you want volume like I do all the time. I want volume of targets. He's going to have the highest projected target percentage on the week. He saw over 40%. Of the targets for the Texans in week 1. He sat in the high 30s last year. It's just absurd the amount of usage that he gets. And you can look at the game that he had last year. You say, well, you know, he's got a tough matchup, and he does against Jacksonville and Ramsey. But in week 17 last year, he absolutely lit them up. So I'm not going to be afraid. The matchup is something that's going to maybe knock down his efficiency a little bit, but that volume is going to be able to make it sustainable for him. Mike Thomas, the other high-priced option that you might want to go after, you can pivot and leverage all the people that are going to be on Alvin Kamara by coming off of him and going on to Mike Thomas. You're not going to have the big playability because he's such a low ADOT guy, but you have a high floor, and he's got good yard-after-catch ability. So if they get the ball in his hands a lot, you have a high floor of targets, very accurate quarterback, obviously historically great, Drew Brees, all the things you can say about him. I don't have to rehash him. But Mike Thomas has a really high floor and a really high ceiling, considering his usage, his big playability after the ball's in his hands, and his red zone usage for the Saints.
All right, so let's move ahead to tight end, where, Al, you have Evan Engram, and I'm curious how much his stock is going to go up after seeing that Sterling Shepard has officially been ruled out of this Sunday's game with a concussion. Do you think Evan Engram is going to catch 25 or 30 passes this week?
Well, considering that he ran 41 routes on the 51 dropbacks from the Giants last week, I'd say the chances are pretty high that he's going to get over 10 targets once again. There's just nobody else to throw the ball to. Coming into week one, we looked at, well, in games without Odell Beckham Jr., he saw like a 50% increase in his fantasy point output. But now there, you know, Golden Tate was out. Now you also have Shepard out. We also had the other guy on the team end up on the injury report yesterday. Who else are they going to throw to? It's going to be the Barkley, and it's going to be the Engram show through the air for the Giants. So the price didn't go up enough. It was $4,800 in week one. They boosted his salary all the way to $5,200, but he should be priced somewhere in the mid to high sixes with as much volume he's going to see.
Yeah, right. I'm with you. I mean, it's certainly some terrific plays there for sure. I know you like, Waller and what else we got on here?
Kelsey.
Kelsey. We talked about Kelsey and Waller. That's right. So.
We talked about how disappointing his week might have been in week one, Travis Kelce, but he led the league in terms of end zone targets as well with three. Yeah. So in terms of OCD, Mike, this is a guy who could have smashed last week and didn't.
Yeah, no doubt. Absolutely. And you think some people might think, well, he had a relatively quiet week one and he's expensive. I'm going to stay away. And maybe he could take advantage, certainly in cash situations, I think. So. Yeah, good stuff, certainly, from Al. And we have one more job for Al, don't we, Daniel?
We do have one more job for Al. But before we get there, Mike, we're going to set some lineups.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we did last week is we had a couple different 200 max person lineups. And this week, DraftKings hooked us up.
Yes, they
did. Not just this week, but for the rest of the season. So, Mike,
pay close attention.
Tell us what DraftKings did.
DraftKings did something awesome. So if you go to DraftKings.com and join our contest, and by the way, we'll share some links in our social media a little bit later. But if you go to the Fantasy Focus DFS group and join, you can get in some various leagues. And you just mentioned we had some 200 teamers that were just free leagues last week. Some people that have joined can make their own on the side, kind of like side bet sort of things. And you could join those, have some fun if you want to put some money up. But from now on, going forward, we will have an official Fantasy Focus DFS showdown league within this group. And it is a free league to enter, Daniel.
Ooh.
$0, so you can get it for free.
Okay.
But there are prizes. In fact, $200 in total prizes. So, again, why would you not do that, right? Join the group, get in. You can literally win free money by setting a nice lineup. That's all you got to do. Yeah, listen to the pod, take some advice, maybe go out there, listen now, read Al's column, plug up a lineup here, and you can take home some cold, hard cash. So we are going to, again, we'll link out to this. It's already in there, so if you're already in the group, hop in there and join. There are 1,000 spots available. So once they fill, that's it. It's full. There's 1,000 spots. So if you've heard, you're listening to this on Friday, Saturday, Sunday morning, you might have an opportunity to hop in there. So really excited for that. And on that note, Daniel, we're gonna join. We are in this. We're competing with all of you for the prizes. So and not only that, we're going to put ourselves at a disadvantage, right? We're going to tell you our lineups.
Exactly.
Right now.
There is nothing better than telling you exactly what I'm going to do and then knowing I'm going to get beat by somebody else. It is just such a fun setup. But I love it. I love being able to play against everybody, and especially, Mike, I love being able to beat you every week. It's
we'll
going to be fun to go 17-0 this year. But this week, I want you to give me your DraftKings lineup. I'm going to give you my DraftKings lineup. And then Al is going to pick which one he thinks is the better lineup. I am 1-0 so far this year.
Yeah.
You go ahead and start. Run us through who you have this week for your DK lineup.
Yeah, so we'll have a record against each other, and then Al will have a record picking winners.
Keep
track of all of this for sure. All right, here we go. My lineup, and again, we talked about pretty much all of these players. Patrick Mahomes, a quarterback. I'm going to spend up and utilize him at Oakland in this one. I'm going to go Ezekiel Elliott because I'm going to have enough cash for him. He's expensive at $8,700. I'm going to use him at Washington. Josh Jacobs in that game against the Chiefs. I'm going to use, in my flex, another running back, so I'll mention him here. Austin Eckler, still too cheap, $6,100, had a killer game last week. If you listen to the pod, you started him. If you listen to any DFS advice, I'm sure you used Austin Eckler last week. I mean, he was just super cheap, and was set up nicely for a big week. So Eckler, Cortland Sutton we talked about, I'm going to use him at $4,200 against Chicago. Larry Fitzgerald, in this Cardinals offense, he's playing a ton in the slot, even at Baltimore in a tough matchup. I'm going to use him. Tyrell Williams, in that game against the Chiefs, Travis Kelce is my tight end, and I'm going to roll with the Jags defense. They've been discounted playing at Houston down to $2,400, but even if they give up some points in this game, they can generate turnovers, they can score points, and they could certainly surprise by holding Houston in check because they are that talented. So that actually, Daniel, leaves $100 on the board, and I'm okay with that. So okay. I like this. I think this is the optimal lineup for the week. I'm going to fire it up, and I'm going to be 1-1.
1-1. All right. Week. All right, not bad. All right, so there's that one. Al, do you want to jump in? Tell me what you think about Mike's lineup before we get to mine.
Yeah, I like the correlation that Mike has. Obviously, he's got Mahomes throwing it to Kelce. He's got three high-volume running backs. This is what I look at. I try to get like 70 touches out of my three running backs if I'm utilizing one in the flex. And he's got two players bringing it back, like we talked about earlier. So he's got Mahomes to Kelce, but he's also got Tyrell Williams if this game does shoot out and Jacobs. So if this is a game that has 50, 60, 65 total points by the end of the day, he's going to reap all the benefits of that.
There you go. Love it.
All right.
It's good analysis.
He only said some of the good things. He saved all the good things for what's left when I get my lineup. All right, so here we go. I'm going to go this week. It's a little bit different. I'm going to throw it out there. I mean, I'm 1-0, so I'm feeling pretty good with myself.
Oh, God.
So here we go. I'm going to take Josh Allen at quarterback this week, $5,300, okay, taking on the Giants. Love, obviously, what he did last week. I think he's going to continue to be – he's going to get better. Everyone has him as a top 10 quarterback. Love Josh Allen. My two running backs this week are Austin Eckler, who I played last week, did fantastic. I think he's going to have a ton more usage again this week against Detroit. And Josh Jacobs, like we had talked about earlier, so I'm all in on Jacobs there. For my wide receivers, I'm taking Keenan Allen at $7,600 against the Detroit Lions with both Hunter Henry and Mike Williams potentially being slow this week and maybe out. We'll see what happens there. I think Keenan Allen and Eckler both are just going to get a ton of work in that offense. I also have Nuke as my second wide receiver, $8,100. I know he's getting the Ramsey shadow, but I mean, Jalen Ramsey came out on social media and talked about how impossible it was to cover DeAndre Hopkins, which is high praise for someone like Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, and we talked about this on the pod earlier this week on the Focus pod. Hopkins and Davante Adams, you can throw them in there as well. Both of those are going to be shadowed by terrific corners. Hopkins gets Ramsey, Adams gets Xavier Rhodes. That hasn't mattered the past few seasons. Those two duos have faced off quite a bit, and the receiver has won pretty much every battle. So I think people might be scared off of them, and you can kind of take advantage and use them as kind of contrarian plays in DFS for sure.
Yeah. My third wide receiver is Michael Thomas in that game against the Rams. I think there's going to be a ton of scoring in that.
Hopkins and Thomas.
So I have Hopkins, Thomas, and Keenan Allen as my three wide receivers.
That's really good.
And then I'm taking TJ Hockenson as my tight end, $3,000, which I think is a great value there. Taking Darren Waller as a part of that KC-Oakland game, only $3,300. And then I had so much money left over. I had the Jaguars as my defensive play, but I just think that the Ravens have I had enough money, $3,800 for the Ravens taking on the Arizona Cardinals. I think they're going to be able to get after Kyler Murray. I think Kyler Murray, especially this week, is more of the first through third quarter Kyler Murray we saw in week one than he would be in the fourth quarter and overtime Kyler Murray.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be the weather's going to be pretty warm, so it's not like they're coming into a cold Baltimore, but they have really, Arizona as a franchise since moving out there to Phoenix has really struggled playing on the East Coast. They've struggled overall, but especially on the East Coast. But it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out because Baltimore's defense is not as good as it was last year. They lost a lot of key pieces. I'm really excited for that one, though, to see Jackson and Murray battle it out. But, yeah, I'm curious, Al, for your grade here on his lineup, or certainly for what you think, especially because of the two low-priced tight ends and a tight end in the flex. Is that something you would normally do?
Typically, I don't go double tight end, but I see what he's doing there, going after high target players at very low prices. I think that we can get better than that, though, by using wide receivers that do it. I do like the Eckler-Jacobs combo. We talked about correlating a quarterback with a wide receiver, but certain quarterbacks like Lamar Jackson, like Josh Allen, you don't need to do that with because they have such a high floor with their legs and they don't really have a number one wide receiver who's going to dominate 30%+ of the market share. Love the wide receivers, obviously. I think this is a great tournament lineup. You're definitely going to get yourself 30-plus targets and a lot of the touchdown equity. Great recognition there of the guys that are missing in San Diego and who's going to fill that void and vacate. And the last thing I thought was really good that Daniel did was the defense was the last man in, right? So, like, defense is so highly variant. Looking at it like, well, I have this much left over. What's the best defense I can afford is a great way to go. I'm going to go with Mike's team this week because I think it has a higher floor, though both teams have a similar ceiling. So I'm going to go with the math and stick with Mike this week.
Wow.
You guys can even
like
up
math.
At one, and you're going to get running in week three.
He's a brainiac.
That is super
well done,
messed
Kyle.
Up. That is super. I'm assuming if I had stacked Josh Allen. The thing is, I did stack Josh Allen. I stacked Josh Allen with his legs. That's what it is.
Okay.
That's my stack right there.
I don't hate that lineup. That's
one.
Like Al said, I like that for a tournament, especially because, Al, I'm sure the percentage of people using two tight ends in tournaments has to be pretty small, right? I mean,
it's a low percentage of people. It might be higher on a week like this where there's so much value out there and you can maybe go get Kelsey and one of the cheaper tight ends. But typically, it's something I try to steer clear of. I put a running back or a wide receiver in my flex mostly.
All right. Well, Al has only won the Millionaire Maker before, and he picked mine. So
no big deal.
Might as well just lock it in now. But nonetheless, we'll see. It's not over yet. We'll see how it goes this week. Two good lineups there. I like them. Al, great insight as always. And,
yeah,
this is good.
Thank you,
I think we're set up for another good week.
I think we are too. Make sure that you follow us on Twitter to be able to find this DraftKings lobby. You'll be able to search Fantasy Focus on DraftKings to be able to get in the league, or you can follow at Mike Clay NFL. I am at Daniel Dopp. We will both share our lineups as well as a link to be able to get into this league where, again, free league with prizes doesn't cost you any money and you can walk away with something. Also, follow Al Zeidenfeld at Al Zeidenfeld on Twitter. He does a number of incredible things. Also, if you're a Twitch guy, follow Al on Twitch. Does so many good things there. Check out the Best Buys column. Check out, Mike, everything that you do with the Optimal Lineup tool. ESPN Plus has so many great things. Guys, thank you so much for being here. I guess we'll be back next week.